top recommendation for Americans would be don't get too drunk, but you want to be able to get up, have brunch by 11 o'clock the next morning so that you can partake of the New Year's concert of the Vienna Philharmonic.
New Year's Eve in Austria is a magical blend of age-old traditions and modern celebrations. From the bustling streets of Vienna to the serene Alps, every region has its unique way of ringing in the new year. On this special episode, we're taking you on a journey across Austria to discover how 12 people celebrate New Year's Eve in their own unique way. From quirky customs and delicious feasts to heartfelt moments with loved ones, you'll get an inside look at the traditions that make this night so special. Who knows? You might even find some inspiration for your own celebrations.
What do we do at New Year's?
We look at the fireworks and we watch films. We drink like punch and stuff, eat popcorn.
When you are young and you grow up in Austria, you usually tend to spend New Year's with your family.
In my experience, I would say that it's always nicer to celebrate at someone's home because this is simply where those traditions are celebrated. And I also know that Vienna, for example, is quite popular for New Year's, but it's extremely crowded. So unless you like very crowded places, it's nicer to, I don't know, maybe with someone you know in the mountains or just in a private environment. I think that's quite a typical thing in Austria that you don't really go out so much.
To celebrate in the countryside because it's much calmer. It's not that loud. It's not that, sometimes it's a bit of an aggressive mood there and here it's like really quiet. And
when I think back about New Year's, then the first thing that comes into my mind is how I spent it as a kid. So we would always have the same procedure every year. We would go to my grandma's house. She had they lived in an apartment building and they lived in like the fifth floor. And in Salzburg, you know, like we have houses that are usually a little shorter. So we could always see the fireworks from there perfectly. So that's why we always went there.
But I think my favorite New Year's in Austria was one spent at home, experiencing Austrian home traditions. And that was in Canton.
And the fireworks start in the afternoon of the 31st and reaches a crescendo at midnight and shortly thereafter.
For me, firework is, we never did that because my father was born during the war and he's always very against that. So we never did it anyways. We just had our candles and sparkling things. So I don't like the loud things of it. Of course, it's nice to have these fireworks seeing at the sky.
Celebrating New Year's in Austria was very surprising for me as an American because I was not expecting fireworks. And fireworks, that's the time of year for fireworks in Austria and Europe. And I've come to learn in a lot of the world, it's at New Year's. And we as Americans, it's just a very summertime thing for us with 4th of July. That's just the firework time. It didn't occur to me that when anybody else would have their fireworks season.
Yeah, I remember my first New Year's experience because it surprised me. Austrians celebrate New Year's the way Americans celebrate the 4th of July, which means with liquor and explosions.
So what first comes to mind is that I hated New Year's Eve as a kid. I always hide with my younger brother in the bathroom because it was too loud for me and I was afraid of it. But with the years coming, I enjoyed it more and more, and then I mostly celebrate it with my friends too.
But in the same time, I'm thinking about all the birds and the animals and also my dog or my friend's dogs. They are really terrified and anxious the whole day and just shaking around.
That kind of is like the big thing about New Year's in Austria are the fireworks.
Throughout the day, when I was with, celebrating with my friends, we would maybe buy some things that we needed for the celebration. So in Austria, it's legal to drink on the streets. So we would always get like a bottle of Prosecco or champagne. So we would go to the store, pick up some things. We would also pick up some little charms like that are for good luck that we would give to each other at midnight.
It's also quite common in Austria to give like lucky charms. So in the couple days before New Year's, there will appear all over the city these little shops that appear in the middle of the street, and they sell lucky charms.
We would get lucky charms as the kids. So like small figurines, pigs, chimney sweeps, four-leaf clovers and so on, or horseshoes.
New Year's gifts are mostly small little things. It's like you either get a little piglet, like a figure that you can put on your desk. It's supposed to give you good luck, or it's like a mushroom or something. Times get a little money. I don't know, give them $5 or $10 or so, but not a fortune. And so it's little gestures.
There's like you can also buy little chocolates, you know, that are shaped like ladybugs and little chocolate pigs or chocolate figurines. They're supposed to bring luck in the new year.
That I also did when I was a kid. We would go out on New Year's Eve, like on the day of New Year's Eve, we would go out and buy some piglets out of marzipan for good luck. So that's also a big thing. So we would always buy those for the whole family.
Everybody's going to give you a little tiny pig with a shamrock. It's just like from everybody you would get them in all different varieties. Some made of marzipan, some are made of plastic, but all kinds of little pigs that you don't know what to do with ever.
But New Year's is a different thing. New Year's is traditionally spent with friends or people that you don't really get to see a lot throughout the year.
In order to prepare, we would always dress up nicely, usually with like sequins or something sparkly or gold, silver. So we had all those cool festive colors on. What we would also sometimes do is wear red underwear, for example, for good luck. Because red underwear means that you, at least in my friend circle, it always was the case that we said, okay, if you wear like a red bra or whatever, you're going to meet the love of your life the next year. So that's, that was kind of like a good luck thing.
And Salzburg has a lot of really cool traditions, including that they have this club or association verein. They shoot cannons from the top of the Festung, the fortress in Salzburg. So I was friends with a family where one of the members of the family, it's old Salzburg family, was part of this old association. And he was one of the ones dressed in traditional Austrian clothing with the alpine hat and the lederhosen and the vest. He was one of the ones lighting the cannon that were being fired. So I got to be right up and next to all of that action and have a few photos as well.
Later, when I was about like 15, 16, started to going out and celebrate New Year's with my friends, we would sometimes actually go in the city, like in the center of the city, and watch the fireworks from there, even go up, like hike up to the fortress and watch from there, which is, was always very exciting for us. Champagne and stuff already, so we were like up there waiting. Usually we were at the fortress in Salzburg, which was very scenic.
Every year, as fireworks light up the night sky, the Viennese embrace this enchanting moment. From grand ballrooms to bustling city squares, people join hands, spinning gracefully to the rhythm of this celebrated waltz, a symbol of stepping into the new year with grace and harmony.
I think one of the most persistent traditions is that you dance to the Danube waltz at midnight. That is a kind of key thing that we've always done since I was a child.
And we go.
And we dance around the living room. And Puppy dances
with
Mama.
No, not yet. But I bet it's gonna be like something.
Specific memories for me when I was a child or growing up, Blue Danube Waltz that comes on at the on the radio.
Before the Danube Waltz starts, you have the Boomerin, the big bells at St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna.
And it's so old and it's so loud that they only play it for special occasions.
and they play the boomerang ringing in the new year on the radio. So everyone always has the radio with them wherever they are.
Every single person in Austria has either their TV or their radio on.
Have the radio on to hear the countdown from the radio. The closer it gets to midnight, everyone starts getting ready to go outside to see the fireworks. And everyone would do a big countdown.
Every radio station in Austria plays the Wiener Walzer at exactly New Year's Eve. And so then what a lot of people do is really they dance waltz into the new year with their loved ones.
At midnight, Daniel Waltz plays. You wish everyone Happy New Year. Some people dance, drink champagne and so on from house to house and wishing people a Happy New Year.
Before dancing the waltz, we usually watch the fireworks and then we know, oh, it's midnight. Then we mostly kiss at midnight if you have a spouse with you. And then we dance the waltz, so it's all around midnight, I'd say.
You could still hear the Danube waltz in the street because every single one was playing it from their windows and everyone had their windows open to look at the fireworks. And so just started dancing the waltz in the middle of the street and it was quite magical.
And people twirl around and get a little bit dizzy. You're probably drunk when you started doing this and the twirling maybe heightens the effect. It's easy to learn, especially if you're in Vienna on the square in front of St. Stephen's Cathedral. They give waltz instruction. So you can get a quickie waltz lesson.
I know for Austria in general, like the dinner for one and the Viennese waltz, red underwear, kiss at midnight. So I know that these are practiced in Austria in general.
Especially in like more rural areas, smaller towns and villages, like where I grew up at, it's also traditional for children to go from house to house and wish people a Happy New Year. And they usually get small coins or some kind of sweet or something. Once you're a grown-up, which depending on the region can be when you're around 16 or so, the coins change to schnapps.
One of Austria's most fascinating and time-honored New Year's traditions is lead pouring, known locally as Bleigießen. This ritual practiced on New Year's Eve is both a source of entertainment and a symbolic way to predict the fortunes of the coming year.
Very typical New Year's tradition, and I have no idea if this is spread all over the world or if it's like an Austrian thing or maybe a European thing. What we love to do for New Year's is we light up lead.
So one thing we do is called Bleigießen.
Yeah, I tried to, that's true, I tried to translate that Bleigießen into English, but I didn't find a good...
I don't even know how you say it in English. It's like maybe lead pouring, maybe?
Okay, so technically it's called Bleigießen, which means melting lead.
It's a New Year's Eve custom of telling fortunes by shapes made by molten lead dropped into cold water.
Basically, it's this little figurine, they're silver.
A little pot on a stick, and you put your lead into it and hold it over a flame until it melts, and then you pour that molten lead into a bucket of water.
And then whatever form builds.
And then the lead kind of gets a funny shape and a funny form. And afterwards, you have like a book with...
There's a book and and you can see, oh yeah, that seems to be like a, I don't know, like looks like a donkey or it looks like a crown or whatever. And this is for your next year.
200 different forms that the lead could might have. The form of the lead tells you your fortune for the upcoming year.
It resembles your future, basically. That's what it is. If you drop some liquid hot lead into water and comes out a dog, people might say, "Oh, you might get a dog next year." And it's a bit silly, but I really enjoy the tackiness of it.
And this is a very nice thing to do with kids. They enjoy it a lot. I can remember this one time I had one that kind of looked like a shower head, you know, there were like little drips of lead coming from the top and stuff. And then it kind of said if it resembles a shower head, it might mean that you get a lot of money next year. It's pouring down on you.
Then you kind of like use that as an oracle and you try to analyze what's happening.
But it's just kind of always the same thing, right? Like health, wealth, good luck.
During the cold wintry transition into the new year, traditional foods bring Austrians together and keep everyone warm while celebrating the holiday. Sizzling raclette stations melt cheese in alpine villages, hearty goulash simmers away in eastern city kitchens, and comforting Frankfurter stew that slowly cook in the final hours before the calendars change.
The Austrian like small home traditions are really nice. I think my favorite being raclette.
I used to grow up very close to the Swiss border in the western part of Austria. So our New Year's dinner has always been the same. It's always raclette. I don't know if you're familiar with that, the Swiss cheese specialty. So this is what we always make.
Of course, some people know raclette from Switzerland and maybe from like a Christmas market where they have like the big cheese that they melted and then they, you know, take the melted cheese and they serve.
Exactly. So you have a frying pan on the table. You have like these little shovels that you can put like a slice of cheese in, and then you put this in the oven or the grill basically that is on the table. And then you can just, you melt the cheese, could put some onions in there or some potatoes, and then you get out the melted cheese and then you either pour it on a slice of bread or you just eat it right away from the plate and stuff. And it's just a nice meal because everybody has something to do. You need to be aware of the cheeses you have in the oven so they don't burn and stuff like that.
You can also have a raclette set for your home, and it's very traditional, at least in Carinthia and Canton, to have a raclette party where it's a whole set. It's almost like a fondue set. It looks a little bit like a griddle, and you have your a little spot for your cheese to warm underneath the griddle, and then you can cook things on top like sunny side up eggs, and it's like a little party.
I remember that when I was a kid, we always had fondue. It's like where you put meat into the heated oil. We have also raclette cheese fondue, which is where you basically have melted cheese in a pond and you put some bread in it with a stick and then you eat it with salad and other stuff.
What I looked forward to as a child was the fondue with the hot cheese, obviously, and My mom and my dad would always give my sister and me some of those lottery tickets. Those are very traditional as well, by the way. Like those four-leaf clovers, pigs, chimney sweeps, and lottery tickets.
Of course, us being Austria, there's also a connection to food. So in Tyrol, people traditionally eat like a beef stew with noodles and frankfurters or like hot dogs cut into them. There's different foods throughout Austria that are popular around New Year's Eve.
It is rather a Swiss thing, but a lot of Austrians like the fondue thing, you know, where you take different meats, breads, and you dip it in melted cheese. That is traditionally Austrian, funnily enough, or like typically Central European during that time, because it's usually very cold outside and people like to indulge in the warm comfort of that a fondue can give.
A lot of traditions in Austria have to do with food. So I like to eat langosch at one of the Christmas markets. Langosch is originally Hungarian, but it's like this large flat dough thing that they fry. And they have that at all the Christmas markets. They will also still have it at like New Year's markets. So that's just something I associate with winter.
I don't know if it's traditional Austrian, but my grandma used to make it every New Year's. It was duck was our main dish that we had, and some cake after. And then we always patiently waited for the fireworks. We would watch those from the fifth floor. It was a beautiful view because you could also see the fortress of Salzburg, and they always have a big firework over there.
There's also a tradition to have like a next meal, and that's it's a goulash, and it's traditionally a Hungarian or originally a Hungarian meal. And I think it was started because most people are quite drunk and it helps you with the alcohol.
What my mom would do a lot is to bake little brioches in piglet form, and then they wouldn't just be for the New Year's celebration with family and friends. But it would be, she would make like a whole lot of them, and then everyone who would come to visit or everyone who we would go to visit around New Year's, they would get one.
Okay, so what I would wish my grandma would make me right now would be Apfelradl. This is also, I think, a traditional Austrian dish where you slice up apples and then put a dough around it, and then it looks a bit like a donut, but it has apple inside it, and I really love it. It's a sweet dish. Yeah, I can't make it myself, but I will definitely ask her if she can make it when I get back to Austria.
Dinner for One has been part of Austrians' New Year's Eve tradition for almost half of a century. Originally a British production, this charming play first found its way to Austrian television in the 1970s, and ever since it's become a staple of New Year's Eve celebrations across the country. On December 31st, millions of Austrians sit down with their families, friends, or even alone to watch the hilarious and heartwarming tale of Miss Sophie, her butler James, and the dinner that goes hilariously wrong.
Black and white short movie from England, which is like, you can watch it like every day leading up to New Year's on different channels, like three times a day.
There's this one show that everyone watches on New Year's that I would watch as a kid also. It's every year, it's the same show.
I wouldn't even call it a movie since it's like 30 minutes long or so. It's not, it doesn't have a huge story. It's about this very, very wealthy lady that has dementia, and she invites like 10 friends of hers for a dinner party.
Who I think used to have these grand parties, but now she's all by herself and her butler pretends to be all her guests.
Mr. Pomeroy!
Happy New Year, Miss Sophie.
And it's actually hilarious. It's about a lady who's celebrating her, I don't know, 100th birthday or something like that.
On her 90th birthday that hosts a birthday dinner.
Usually every year she would have all her friends over for her birthday, and she has like a private butler. She's like a super wealthy lady.
But all her guests or friends have long since passed away.
All her friends are dead by now. And the butler pretends to be all her friends.
These friends don't exist, so it's her and her butler.
And it's just her and her butler ends up serving all the former guests.
And he plays the people, so he changes his voice to be various counts, various politicians. It's all sort of British aristocracy.
And dear Mr. Winterbottom.
Well, here we are again, the old love is to me and the last one.
So it's actually hilarious. So whenever she toasts with someone, the butler would always drink.
And then she always wants to cheer with everybody on the table. But since there's nobody on the table besides herself, her butler needs to drink like 10 glasses of champagne every time she wants to cheer.
And he gets more and more drunk throughout the evening.
And then you can actually see the butler getting more and more drunk throughout the whole evening.
And so he has to drink a lot. And so he moves between the chairs, pretending to be different people, and always drinks.
And then it's like this huge, it's like a carpet with a tiger's head, and like the butler always falls over the tiger, and it's like, it's so ridiculous.
And the trademark of it is it's played every single year.
And then you can see it's like a black and white movie. It's super, super old.
Well, first of all, I think it's English, but it's definitely not well known at all in America.
And I don't think anyone in England has ever heard of it. I think it's only Germans and Austrians who watch it.
You should be prepared for the fact that Austrians will be quoting this and saying the same procedure as every year.
Famous line from that sketch, the same procedure as every year, that the old lady utters is sort of famous around Austria.
And it may take you months of living there to realize that this is a quote from a movie that I think you know.
But then the way it ends is in the end he's taking her to bed. And it seems a little bit like a romance story. So there is, in the end, it seems a little bit like both of them know what they are doing and they know that this is the outcome of the evening.
By the way, same procedure as last year, Miss Sophie.
The same procedure as every year, James.
Well, I'll do my very best. Good night.
The Botstieber Institute would like to thank you for listening to this special podcast, and from all of us here, we'd like to wish you the happiest of holidays.